cooking, but I heard that there was some cooking going on inside the sanctuary yesterday, too. I've heard that the Lord really moved and blessed, had young people in the altar. Amen. What a wonderful thing that is. That's just great to know that God is pouring out His Spirit in this day and hour that we're living in. And folks, if we ever need it, the power of the Lord is in the day and hour that we're living in. I can't make it without the Lord. How about you? God bless you. You can have your Bibles this morning. Go with us to the book of Daniel. Yes, ma'am.
Did you tell everybody that thing?
I did not, but I will. Some does not know, but last week we received a phone call from a very good friend of mine, the one that I actually go hunting with, Don Nichols, and he said, "I need your help. I need you to help pray for my grandnephew." The little baby was born last Monday, and then Wednesday night into Thursday morning, they did a procedure on the heart, and a horrific thing happened in the procedure. They punctured the baby's heart in some way, and they was so afraid that the baby was going to, even if it lived, it was going to be severe brain damage. And he said, "Brother, I just really, really need you to pray." We got in touch with some. I think Sister Lori put it on the prayer list. And the text that went out, we began to pray. And Penny and I just pulled over right there when I got the phone call. We pulled off and began to pray and asked the Lord to intercede. Well, I talked to Don yesterday evening. They're expecting the baby now to make a full recovery. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Still in the unit. They're in the Nashville hospital. But the prognosis now is much, much better. They don't believe that there's any brain damage. The heart is good. They were just watching something in its body. I don't know if it's something that has to do with infection, I think. But that's a far cry from 3 or 4 days ago when the prayer went out. Listen, prayer works, folks. Prayer works. Amen. The reason prayer works is because we got a God who likes to work. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord praise. Amen. And thank you for the prayers. Amen. Hallelujah. In the 6th chapter of the book of Daniel, if you will allow me, and thank you for standing for the reading of God's word, but allow me to read the first 10 verses of the 6th chapter of the book of Daniel. Bible reads this way: "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him." Say that with me: excellent spirit. "And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, 'We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God.' Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, 'King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdoms, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal decree, a royal statute, and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and the signing, and sign the writing, and it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which alter it not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime." Can we bow our heads in prayer this morning? Brother Adam, would you ask God's blessing and his anointing upon his messenger?
Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come to you this morning, God, thanking you for this opportunity and privilege to be in your house. God, we just pray that you just anoint the one that you took before us today, God, anoint his lips of clay. And God, just use him as a vessel, God, to speak unto us. God, I pray that you'd anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive with God, and help us to know how to apply what we learned today as we go forward to live the life that you've given us to live. God, we give you praise and glory and honor and thanks for everything. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Love Jesus with a hand clap of praise, and you may be seated. Praise God. Love the story of Daniel. Remarkable, remarkable story of profound faith and what a prayer can do. This morning it might seem a little unusual, but bear with me and pray for me that I can get this thought across to us this morning. As I've entitled this message, Building a Shelter. Building a Shelter. Brother Adam, if I could borrow a little excerpt from our Friday morning Chick-fil-A, what do you call it? Prayer meeting? Study time? Whatever it is that we get together, time with the brothers. And I want to borrow something from the book that we're in. John Wooden was a basketball coach for UCLA, University of California, whatever. UCLA's never been one of my favorite teams. I remember in the heyday when John Wooden was sending all of these basketball teams winning national title year after year after year, and a lot of great talent went through that particular school. And being from the Southeast, naturally I always pulled for the teams that was in our area, and so many times this left coast UCLA would come out victorious. And not really knowing the man, I just didn't like UCLA, so therefore I didn't like their coach. Until I began to read about his life and began to read about his principles and began to read about his morality, and he did not take credit for it, but in fact passed that on to his father, who he spoke very highly of, by the man, his name was Joshua, and he instilled these statutes and instilled these principles and these characteristics into his son. And upon John Wooden's eighth grade graduation, think about what you were thinking about in the eighth grade. I begin to think about what I was thinking about in the eighth grade. I'm glad I'm not in the seventh grade. I hope I can make it to the ninth grade. I wished I was out of the 12th grade. But imagine the youth and the things that an eighth grader would be contemplating. Recess, basketball, whatever, hunting, fishing. But his dad gave him this little note, and John Wooden would say years and years later, he still carried it in his billfold, and probably did until the day of his passing, and I would imagine he passed it on to his children. But if you allow me this morning, I want to read it, and then I want to take my scripture and my text from the Word of God. The first one was said, be true to yourself. Two, make each day your masterpiece. Three, help others. Four, drink deeply from good books, especially the good book. Make friendship a fine art. Number six, build a shelter against a rainy day. Seven, pray for guidance and give thanks for your blessings every day. Not only did John Wooden keep these in his personal care and kept it in his billfold, but he tried to his very best to live by these particular things that his dad passed to him. And I want to dwell on this morning the one, build a shelter for a rainy day. How many knows that troubles and trials are probably on our horizon? Many, many times they come unannounced. So many times they come unexpected. They never come in a convenient time. You know, sickness, accidents, all those things that happen, they're not planned. They just happen. But I believe through the Word of God, and I believe as this was a reminder to me, that we can build a shelter against those things that may come. Now, I thought about John's dad, and I thought about the knowledge and the wisdom that he was passing on to his son. And quite naturally, I imagine he was talking about some material things. I began to think maybe in that generation, you know, there's going to be times when you're going to have it hard. But if you prepare while you've got it and you lay it back, and you'll have it there when the need arises. And not only, I imagine, was he talking about material things, but I believe he began to also touch on spiritual things too. And being prepared for those accidents, being prepared for those situations, being prepared for that sickness or whatever it is that comes in our life. And never more was that any more backed up than the Word of God. And the great prayer warriors that are listed in the Word of God, I grew up surrounded by a wonderful church body of prayer warriors. And there's an old song that says, "Who's going to fill their shoes?" You know, when those precious saints of God, the prayer warriors that prayed for us when we didn't even know it, that surrounded us when we were in the altar and encouraged us, and many of them were our Sunday school teachers, many of them were our mentors, many of them were those that we wanted to be like. I remember I used to want to testify like some of the men in our church, because they just said the most profound things and the most wonderful spiritual anointed things, and I wanted my life to mimic that and to have a role model. And I thought about that, and the Bible is full of great, great prayer warriors. But the prayer warriors did this one thing. They knew how to pray when they didn't have to. Does that make any sense? And the Lord began to speak to me this week, and being prepared, having a prayer life, amen, that is full, having a prayer life, amen, that we actually are prepared for those things that are unbeknownst to us, those things that are on the horizon, those bad times, those sad times, those situations that may arise, just like a storm would come, and if there's no shelter, no place to get out of the rain, then you have to face the brunt of the storm. But if you've had prepared, if you've laid something back, if you've took the time to build a shelter or surround yourself, and I'm talking now not so much materialistic as I am talking about a spiritual relationship with the Lord. If you spend your time in prayer and in fasting and studying, and not only studying, but obeying the Word of God, then these things won't catch us so bad off guard. We'll be prepared for those days. We'll be prepared for those times. And I thought about Daniel, and I thought about how things were going so good. In the very first part of the sixth chapter, it sounds like Daniel had a great life. Understand, Daniel was still living in captivity. Daniel was no longer in Jerusalem, no longer in the country of where his descendants were, and he grew up because of this Babylonian, I believe it was the Babylonians that had took over them, and they had them enslaved. But yet there was something about this Daniel. The Bible describes him as this Daniel, and he had an excellent spirit with him. You know, I begin to think about when everything is rosy, when everything is going good, and you know, we're on top of the world, so to speak, it's kind of easy to have that excellent spirit. It's kind of easy to have that little smile on our face or that little jingle and whistle as we go around. But you really want to know if somebody's got an excellent spirit. Look at them in the time of captivity. Look at them in the time of devastation. Look at them in the time when things around them are falling all apart, and life seems to be so unfair, but yet they can emerge, amen, as one that's on fire for God, one that says, "I will not allow anything to get me down. I refuse, absolutely refuse to become a victim. The Bible says I am more than a conqueror. I'm an overcomer through Christ." Amen. I refuse to have the mindset of being a victim. I refuse of trying to live in bondage. I refuse of trying to live in captivity, because I know I have a Savior. I know I have a God, amen, that is going to be with me. Amen. And I don't know what holds tomorrow or what is down the road, but I know my God is with me. Amen. Why? Because I built a shelter, and I'm still trying to build that shelter against the storms of life, against the troubles and the trials that come against me. As Daniel, in the good times, he had already arisen, even in captivity, to catch Darius's eye and know that Darius could put faith and trust in him. And he was even preferred over the presidents who were overseeing the counselors. There was something about this Daniel, and I believe if Daniel had an
an opportunity to testify, he said, it's probably not about me. In fact, it's not about me at all. It's about the one that I serve. Because let me tell you, I serve him every day of my life. I have made provision for him. It may, when I get up in the morning, God is on my mind throughout the day. No matter how busy my schedule, I still stay in touch with God. I call on him on a regular basis. Amen. I need his counsel. I need his protection. I need his divine friendship. I need him to be a constant abode in my life. And let me tell you, I can let everything else in this world go, but I got to have my relationship with my Lord, because I know where my strength comes from. I know, amen, where the stamina comes from. I know without him, I can't do anything, but with him, my Bible tells me I can do all things. Something calls that excellent spirit, and I think it's a relationship with God. I believe that with all of my heart, the greatest thing that we can aspire to is to have a true relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I was in the yard yesterday, and I looked like anything at all than a preacher. I remember my granddaddy one time, he was down in his shop, and he had on his coveralls. The first place my granddaddy was always happy was in church. The second place was in his shop. He loved his shop. He loved to tinker. Even how many knows the definition of tinker? To me, it is tear something up. To him, it was fix something. He was great with small engines, worked on lawnmowers, just anything that he could do. It just tickled him to do that. And somebody was visiting him one day, and they was talking about him, and the little boy that was with him, and he told it to his daddy. He said, "Daddy, he don't look like a preacher." Had grease on his swinging as an alcohol. He didn't look like a preacher. You know, there's sometimes you don't look like a preacher. I was out in the yard, had my chainsaw going, I was trimming trees, cutting some, and I had my hat turned around backwards. The reason I turned around backward is not because I wanted to be cool, but the back of it kept the sweat from running in my eyes. There's, you know, I'm about practicality. I'm not about looking good or being cool. And I had on some nasty, dirty clothes. And, you know, these people that drive up and they knock on the door and they get out, and you know who I'm talking about. They visited, and I thought Penny was in the house, and actually she was. She just didn't answer the door, so I don't know. She said she didn't hear them. But here they came, down to the dirty old preacher with the hat turned around backwards, and I cut off the chainsaw, and they wanted to tell me a little bit about whatever they had. And they said, do you realize that God loves you? I know they thought I was the most rank sinner they'd ever seen in their life. Hat turned around backward. I had to take my glasses off so I could see him, because sweat was all over him, you know. Especially when he wanted me to read that, I had to do this and that. But when he said, "Do you realize that God loves you?" And this old dirty, stinky thing, and I apologized to him. When I shook his hand, it was awful. You know, mine, not his, was okay. Mine was awful. And I shook his hand, and I said, "Yes, I do realize God loves me. Let me tell you how much God loves me. He sent his son, Jesus Christ," and he backed up about twice. I said, "He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to love me." And he said, "Well, you know, most people don't think that God loves me." I said, "Well, most people don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, because my Bible tells me, my spirit tells me, that he loves me so much he died on the cross of Calvary for me." And let me tell you something. These people that think God doesn't care for them, it's because they're blaming God for the consequences and the circumstances that they're going through. I don't do that, because my Bible tells me it rains on the just and the unjust. He said, "I can see that you read your Bible pretty regular." He said, "I just hope you have a blessed day. You can go right on back to your wood cutting." I said, "All right, brother." Amen. Let me tell you something. When you know, and you know that you know, confidence replaces fear. Amen. And I know my Savior. I know Jesus lives within me. I know I'll never face a problem by myself. Amen. I may not look like a Christian, but you're not looking at the right thing if you just look what's on the inside. Amen. If you just realize that's what my Lord and Savior has done for me. Amen. Why? Because he's taught me that I need to build a shelter for a rainy day. Amen. If you wait till the raindrop hits you in the head, you're waiting a little bit late. You need to build a shelter while it's sunny. You need to build a shelter while it's going good. You need to build a shelter when you're having no adversity in your life, when everything's going good. You keep building that shelter, because one of these days you're going to have an opportunity to be sheltered under the mighty hand of God. And if you don't have that relationship, your world is going to be turned upside down. But he who has Jesus within him can withstand any storm. Can you say praise the Lord? Are you thankful for that shelter? Put your hands together for Jesus this morning. Daniel knew the importance of establishing a prayer life. Many, many years ago, when I was at the Rockmart Church and hearing the testimonies of the O'Kelly brothers, I've shared a little bit with them about the O'Kelly brothers. They were very good friends of my granddaddy. All three of them was just as lost as they could be. The three wives got together. There wasn't a church in Rockmart that they could attend, that they felt that they could really attend and get the spiritual food that they needed. So they began to have a prayer meeting with just the women, the three ladies. Sister Montgomery out of Atlanta, her husband was one of the founding fathers of the Pentecostal movement in Georgia, and especially Northwest Georgia, pastored a wonderful church in Atlanta. But she would get on the bus. Now, Sister Montgomery did not drive, but she would get on the bus from Atlanta and ride to Rockmart once a week and have a prayer meeting with these three precious, Holy Ghost-filled, devoted ladies whose three husbands were just as lost as they could be. God began to move. I've shared with you from that little prayer band of three precious wives, there's been at least six churches come, amen, and alive and fervent and today, amen. Just from that, there may be even more than that, but I'm aware of six churches, amen, that are alive and well today because of three ladies who got together and said, we need a move of God. Let me tell you something. You get three ladies together building a shelter, amen, and faith and trust and hope, and God will deliver. Not only did God build those churches, but he saved all three of their husbands. All three of their husbands became ministers. All three of their husbands became pastors, amen, and there's no telling how many folks have been saved under their ministry that started with three precious ladies having a prayer meeting for God. Amen. You couldn't see, but they was building a shelter. Amen. They was building a shelter. Brother Leroy O'Kelly and Brother, in fact, all three of those men, my granddaddy and the two O'Kelly brothers, worked at Goodyear. My granddad worked on the third shift. The O'Kelly boys, they worked on the first shift. They worked on opposite sides of the factory. Brother Leroy O'Kelly was my kind of man. He was anointed. He was wonderful, loving, humble, but he had such a sense of humor. Y'all don't think I have a sense of humor? I know God does, because every morning when I look in the mirror, I say, man, Lord, you must have a sense of humor. But Brother Leroy O'Kelly had a sense of humor. He loved to laugh. He loved to cut up. He loved to joke. He was working, and there was during one of those times, have you ever had anybody that when they told the joke, they got more enjoyment out of it than you did? It was funnier to them. It was funny, but to them it was just hilarious. And he was in the midst of doing one of these jokes, and Brother Paul was on the other side of the factory and had a hemorrhage. He began to hemorrhage. So he said, call my brother. Call my brother Leroy to come and pray for me. So they sent some people over there to Brother Leroy. Brother Leroy, your brother Paul is hemorrhaging and he's calling for you to come and pray. Brother Leroy testified later. He said all the way over there, he was walking. He said before I could even get to my brother and pray for him, he said, I had to pray for myself. I had to pray for myself that I would get in the right frame of mind. And I thought about that a whole lot, and it fits into the message this morning. Amen. If we wait till after the storm hits, it may be a little late to start building the shelter. If we wait, amen, till the rain begins to pour down on us, and I'm not talking physically now. I'm talking about those spiritual matters. I'm talking about those things that catch us unprepared sometimes. But I'm telling you, if you built your shelter with prayer and fasting and meditation, meditation, amen, and submissiveness and obedience unto God, it's a whole lot easier to get security. It's a whole lot easier to get sheltered, amen, from a shelter that's already been established. So Brother Leroy said, I had to pray for myself before I could even pray for my brother. And I thought, Lord have mercy, how many times does that happen to me? You get a phone call and somebody needs prayer, instant prayer. And sometimes maybe you're, it's not that you're committing any sin or anything, but you're just not focused. You're just not really where you need to be in a prayer life. And so many times you have to pray, Lord, get me where I need to be. Because let me tell you something, if you pray, the prayer says a prayer, the earnest prayer, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Can I tell you, sometimes I've prayed and I didn't feel real righteous. Sometimes I prayed and I thought, Lord, that was just a recited prayer than it was an earnest prayer from the heart. But can I tell you, sometimes when that storm hits, you get an earnest prayer then, amen. But what's wrong with going ahead and having the shelter built and being prepared as Daniel was? So Daniel was doing good. He was preferred over all the other presidents and probably fixing to be promoted, and just life was great and life was good. And let me tell you something, folks, whether you've realized it or not, there's people out there that despise you for no other reason except you're trying to live for God. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it affects their spirit. I don't know if it condemns their walk with their life. Well, there's some of them that they can't find anything else to complain about, but there's something about it. Maybe people you work with, maybe it's people in your family, but they despise you. This situation, the other princes, the other counselors, they begin to find fault with Daniel, but they realize something. Said, we can't find fault with him because he's got an excellent spirit. Only thing we can find fault with him is the law of his God. He is so precise. He is so dedicated. He is so committed to his law. If we find anything at all, it's got to be against that. So they go to King Darius and they say, Dear, you got to make a decree. You know, that anybody, they just don't need to be praying to any God. They need to be, paying homage unto you. And he goes along with it and he signs the decree. And let me tell you something, folks. Once you signed it, you signed it. Now, Darius kind of had a little repentive spirit after that, but it was too late. He'd been signed it. He prayed and he fasted and he tried to get out of it, but they come back and said, no. The law tells us that you can't change the decree once you have signed it and sealed it. It's done. So they found out. And they even let Daniel know. Now, Daniel, this is the thing. You can't pray anymore. Let me tell you something. We always say, if the devil had his way, wouldn't none of us be praying? That's what I used to say. But can I tell you, if the majority of the people in a nation today could keep us from praying, they would do it. And they're not the devil. They may be used by the devil, but that's what we used to say. Look, the devil, he doesn't want anybody to pray. There's people in that you work with that don't want you praying. We certainly know the media don't want you praying. We know, amen, that we live in a nation where sweet people don't want you to pray. They don't want you to acknowledge God. They certainly don't want you to believe in Jesus Christ who died on the cross of Calvary. But you know what that tells me? That tells me there's a storm coming. That tells me that there's things coming down the road, amen, that if we're not prepared for, it may give us a joke. It may rock our world. But those who are prepared, those who have built that shelter strong, those who continue to pray, no matter what the news, if the news is good and the news is bad, they're still praying. God, have your will. God, be with me. Help me to walk in your statutes. Help me to obey your precepts. God, let me never be swayed to the left or right, but help me walk the straight and narrow. And when you walk the straight and narrow, you better be prayed up. Amen, because you can't do it in your own. So they told Daniel about it. Now, many of us Christians today would have been nail biters. This puts me in a predicament. If I continue to pray and acknowledge my Lord, it's written that I'm going to be thrown into a den of lions. Pray, den of lions. Not pray, no den of lions. Maybe we would have contemplated that. Maybe we'd have just had to thought about that a little bit. But not Daniel. Because there was an excellent spirit in him. Let me tell you something. That excellent spirit wasn't somebody who was patting himself on the back for how righteous he was. That excellent spirit was not because, look who I am. That excellent spirit was, I'm going to obey God regardless. I'm going to live for Him through every adversity, every situation. I'm going to stand strong by Him. Amen. I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to acknowledge Him in all my ways. So after Daniel got the news, what did he do? Well, he went back and did what he always had been doing. A full time means he'd done it again. He ran and he prayed 3 times a day, every single day. And they knew that. They knew that. Of course, they go to King Darius, and Darius tries to get out of it. Oh, no, man, we can't do that. You know, yeah, but you signed it, Darius. He's going to have to. So against his better judgment and against his will, they had Daniel placed into the lion's den. Now, here's Daniel about to go into the lion's den. And can I tell you, if that had been the first time he had ever prayed in his life, it might have been nasty. I'm not saying that God is not able. I'm not saying that God can't close the mouths of the lion. He did so. But I'm saying Daniel went into the lion's den as a prepared servant of God. Can I just share with you? Adversity is terrible. Sickness is horrible. Accidents are sometimes unavoidable and certainly unexpected and not planned. But if we have to go into those situations and we haven't had an established prayer life, we've just called on God occasionally. We've just prayed as a matter of duty and routine rather than praying an effectual, fervent prayer life. One that it doesn't matter what's facing today. It doesn't matter if it's a bluebird sunny day. I'm still going to pray. Amen. It doesn't matter what King Darius has decreed. It doesn't matter what those around me say. It doesn't matter if I even have to face death. I have to face the lion's den. I'm still going to pray just like I've always done because I'm building a shelter. I'm building a time, amen, that's going to come. Amen. And I'm going to be devastated, amen, if I don't have a prayer life. If I don't know God, I say it so many times, I don't see how people stand situations that don't know God. It's hard enough when you do know God. It's hard enough when you have an established prayer life. But if you don't have those things, it can absolutely be devastating. Or to borrow a term from the media, catastrophic. I mean, everything is catastrophic. Everything will be catastrophic if you don't have a prayer life with God. But Daniel had an excellent spirit. He had built a shelter. He had built a shelter, amen? A shelter of protection, a shelter that would keep him safe. Webster says a shelter is that which protects or shields. Amen. How many knows that there's nothing that protects or shields better than a relationship with our Lord and Savior? If you believe that, give him praise this morning. Now, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord because Noah obtained and had the same type of spirit that Daniel had. He was humble, he was submissive, and he was obedient to God. God spoke to Noah and said, I need you to build an ark. And the ark is for protection for the rain that's going to come. Now, I read that Noah was about 500 years old when his sons were born. He was 600 years old, I think, when the floodwaters came. Very easy to say, Lord, my days are over. You know, I can't see me getting out sawing wood and building an ark at my age. But not Noah. Not Noah. Noah was obedient because he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And I don't read where Noah said, I don't see any clouds, God. In fact, it hadn't even rained before. Are you sure you know what you're doing, God? I don't read that. What I do need is Noah began to make preparations to build an ark, a shelter. When everything was good, his family was doing well, God was blessing him, the world was in disarray, So that fact, so much so that it repented God that he had even formed and fashioned man. It was evil rampant. And because of that, a storm was coming. A storm was coming. Now imagine, you know, as I said earlier, and I've often said that it is not hard for me to pray a prayer when I really need something. Let me tell you, I can get serious. I can get serious with God. I can turn the television off. I can do whatever needs to be done. I can get in touch with God. But can I tell you that sometimes it's not the easiest thing in the world when everything's going well and I don't have any issues, just to really, really get in touch and seek God and pray an effectual, fervent prayer. But I believe if we'll do it in those times, the hard times will be less severe, less turbulent, less horrific. Someone begins to build a great big boat. And I imagine he was ridiculed. Look at the idiot. Look what he's doing. He's building a boat and expecting the flood. And it ain't never even rained. This man's off his rocker. But you know what? He kept nailing another board up. He kept going and getting the gopher wood. He kept putting that in. He got his family to work. It took a long, long time to build that. And sometimes it takes a long, long time to prepare. Amen. To build that shelter. But if we'll build that shelter, when the rainy day comes, we'll have a place of comfort. We'll have a place of protection. We'll have a place that shields us. And I will assure you, when the ark was finished and the animals were brought in and the door was shut, amen, and the first few raindrops began to come and it began to rain for 40 days, I will assure you there was people knocking on the door. Hey, I want in. I want in. There'll be a lot of people that'll call you up in the last minute and want you to pray for them. And that's all right. But let me tell you something. We need to get to a point where we're already prayed up. We need to get to a point where we have already prepared for those things to come. It may be sunshiny now. It may be completely storm free. But I believe with all of my heart, there is an adversary that's going to try to come against you with everything that he possibly can. And when you built that shelter, when you built that protection, when you have that relationship with the Lord, when you know that you are prayed up, amen, you don't have to go and tarry and tarry and tarry to try to get in touch with the Lord, because you can have that instant access, amen, to a God that will never fail you. And we know the story. God protected Noah and his family because he had the foresight. He had the ability, amen, to go ahead and build that ark of safety. So building a shelter is very, very important. David even realized that. David said, and I'm just picking a little bit, a few of the things. The first thing he said was in the 23rd Psalm, and this pretty much says it all. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If the Lord is truly your shepherd, then you are a shepherd, or you are a sheep, amen, that follows his commands. Amen. Regardless, you don't have to try to run away from him, but try to run away from his commandments. Amen. But you follow that shepherd. And that's what David did. He practiced that every day of his life. He prayed and he sought the Lord many, many times in the Psalms that he wrote. He said, I sought the Lord, or I prayed unto the Lord. He constantly had that relationship. Another place where David wrote in Psalms, he said, mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. The net is there. But when you have that relationship with God, when you took the time, when you took the energy to go ahead and build that shelter of protection through prayer, through fasting, through meditation, I cannot tell you the importance. I can't stress enough the importance of being familiar with God's Word, knowing God's Word. Amen. Not so much that you can recite every word, but you know where to find it when you need it. Amen. Because problems will come, sickness will arise, situations will face you, and you're constantly need that reassurance that only God can give us. And when you took the time, when you took the energy, amen, and you pushed everything else back and said, Lord, I'm preparing, God. I want to be strong, Lord, for you. Whatever I face, whatever the situation is that comes in my life, God, I want to be under that shelter. And that shelter is the mighty hand of God that protects us. But have we taken time? Have we taken time not only to build that relationship, amen, but to continue that relationship with the Lord? Don't let tragedy take you completely unprepared. Don't let situation, sickness, or affliction, or whatever happens in this world completely catch you off guard. And in order to do that, amen, it takes dedication. We need to be intentional. Another buzzword that came from our little meeting on Friday mornings. Be intentional. Make prayer intentional. Make it a habit. Amen. Not just as a duty or an obligation, but an opportunity to consult with the Lord. I've often said sometimes prayer is as much listening as it is speaking. When you begin to just ask the Lord to fill you, ask the Lord to touch you, ask the Lord to give you instruction and to give you knowledge and to lead you to His Word, what you're doing, you're building a shelter. You're building a shelter against the storms and the waves and the things that are going to come down the road, and you'll be prepared. It won't catch you completely unaware. I can't stress enough the importance of prayer and fasting. Folks, it works. It works. You know, the little baby that I'm talking about, it wasn't because I prayed. It wasn't because others prayed. It was because God was able to hear that prayer and believe and have faith enough to believe what you ask for. Sometimes we pray out of just pure fright. But you got to do something. But when you pray with an earnest expectation that God is going to answer your prayer, can I tell you, when I was praying, I honestly believed this. I honestly believed that we were going to hear some good news. Now, what gave me that? Not the doctor's report. Not the fear in Don's voice when he told me. He said, it don't look good. But somehow, someway, I felt the presence of the Lord just assuring me that things were going to... And I was so happy when I got... I don't even know this family. I don't even know this little baby boy. But God does, amen. And God delivered it. I began to think, Lord, if you've touched that child, I don't know the family's relationship with you. They may not even have a relationship with you. But what a mighty miracle they would have to understand. It may be the basis of that entire family turning to God. We don't know the mind of God, but when we're asked to pray, we need to have prepared a prayer in our life. We need to be ready, amen. When somebody asks us, would you pray for me? Would you help me pray for this situation? If we haven't built that shelter, if we haven't built that relationship, if we're just one of those people that just prays every once in a while, just when we need God, then we're missing out on a wonderful opportunity, amen, to be prepared. To be prepared for those things. Because I'm not prophesying. I'm not a prophet of doom telling you all these things. But you know how the world is. You know how situations can happen and emergencies can arise. It's a lot easier when you're prayed up. Amen? When you're prepared. Are you building a shelter? Have you built that shelter? If you have, are you keeping it maintained? Amen? Are you continuing in that shelter of prayer, fasting, and meditation in God's Word? If ever we needed those things today, it's certainly in the hour that we're living in. May God bless you. I love you with all of my heart. I want to see you strong in God. I want to see you not independent, but very dependent on God. And when you're dependent on God, then you're made strong. Amen. You're made strong because of that relationship with Him. Then when these things hit us, amen, we'll be prepared because we built that shelter of prayer, that shelter of faith, and certainly that shelter of knowing God's Word. My eyes are forever toward the Lord. Would you stand? God bless you. We love you. Appreciate you being here with us this morning. It's good to see you. Some we hadn't seen in a while. It's just good to have that fellowship. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Maybe there's someone under the sound of my voice, someone in the congregation this morning that needs prayer. Amen. That needs a touch. Maybe you have adversity. Maybe you have things facing in your life. But if you'd come forward this morning, we and the elders will pray with you and we'll pray for you. God bless Jared as he's coming. Some of you that are elders in the church, come on, you gather around and let's pray. Some of you prayer warriors. Amen. We talked about prayer warriors. We need believers. We need prayer warriors to know that God is going to intercede on behalf of this young man. Thank you.
God's able.